40 days after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And why did he did so? Simply because he came from heaven. And so, logically, he has to return to heaven. And not only that, according to St. Paul in our second reading today, he is the one who descended from heaven, and so he has to ascend to heaven. Now the question, my dear brothers and sisters, is this. If Jesus ascended into heaven, how does it concern you and me? Well, he did it 2,000 years ago, but does that make any sense for us today, Christians, Catholics of the 21st century? The brothers and sisters, the ascension of the Lord is both the beginning, the end rather, and the beginning. The end, the completion of his mission here on earth, and the beginning of the disciples' mission. And since we succeed, we came after the disciples, the apostles, so it really concerns us because we have a mission to do, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not here just to exist in this world. We have a mission. That's why we are called Christian. What Jesus did and said 2,000 years ago, we have to continue. We should not be indifferent to this mission, my dear brothers and sisters. And so the ascension is a recalling of what Jesus did. According to St. Luke, in the first reading today, he wrote to Theophilus. This Theophilus could be a personal or a person or a group of person. Theophilus means friends of God. And he detailed everything that Jesus said or did and taught. So Jesus, as the Son of God, sent by the Father, did many good things while he was here on earth. He did not commit any wicked deeds. Remember that no wicked deeds has been done by Jesus. Only good. Feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, counseling those who are depressed, raising the dead. All those good things Jesus said and did while he was here on earth. Now, his turn, his time is now for him to return to the Father. And according to the narration, he sit at the right hand of the Father. The interpretation of this particular passage means that Jesus in his ascension again was empowered by God. And you know, this power that Jesus receives when he ascended into heaven is not only for himself. His power is shared to his disciples. Because in doing the mission, one has to be empowered. And usually it is the Holy Spirit through Jesus that this empowerment has been done. They were empowered. In other words, they were emboldened. Emboldened to proclaim the good news. This is Jesus' ascension, as what I have said. The end of his mission has come, and the beginning is here. The beginning of the disciples' mission, the beginning of our mission. Remember at the end of the narration of St. Luke, the angels told the disciples, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking up to the sky?" You know what's the meaning of this? Don't just look up to Jesus who is ascending into heaven. Start now your mission. Because the time for you has come. Jesus already finished his mission. And it's now time for you to do your mission. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, I said at the beginning of this reflection that it concerns us because we are Jesus' disciples. It is now our time to proclaim the good news by our lives. He said, "You will be my witnesses throughout the world," witnessing to the good news, witnessing to Jesus said and did 2,000 years ago. Our life should mirror what Jesus said and did 2,000 years ago. That's why this is a very, very great challenge for you and for me. The time is now for us, my dear brothers and sisters, to continue what Jesus has started. It is far from over. We have to propagate the good news. We have to continue proclaiming His love, His mercy, His forgiveness throughout the world to all a lot of people whom we encounter. St. Paul, in our second reading today, in his letter to the Ephesians, said that there is a great hope in Jesus. He was crucified, He died, but He rose from the dead. In heaven, Jesus completes His mission, and He received this power, as what I have been talking about in the first reading. This power, according to St. Paul, is greater than any principality, any dominion, any power, and any authority that the world could have. So this power, as what I have said again, is not for Jesus alone. He shared this power to His disciples so that they will again be emboldened. They will be brave and they will be courageous. And remember that out of their courage, many, in fact, 10 or 11 of the Jesus apostles were martyred. They became martyrs because they were empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. They were courageous. They were brave enough to proclaim Jesus, even if it meant their own life. They have to give up their life for Jesus. This is also the challenge for each one of us. Are we ready also to give up our life for Jesus' sake? Not that we become martyrs, physical martyrs, but spiritual martyrs for Jesus. So St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, reminded the Ephesians that Jesus, in His ascension into heaven, has this power, received this power. He shares this spiritual heritage with us by sending the disciples, the church, the body of Christ, the gifts and charisms, particularly the gift of wisdom and revelation. And this was used by the apostles in proclaiming Jesus to the world. We received these gifts, these charisms, when we were baptized and were strengthened to us when we received the sacrament of confirmation. But the problem is, did we utilize these charisms, the different gifts that the Holy Spirit bestowed on us when we were baptized and it was strengthened to us through the sacrament of confirmation? We need to utilize all these things, my dear brothers and sisters, in order for us to really proclaim the good news that Jesus meant for all humanity. The gospel, Jesus gives a mandate to His disciples. Go. Go to the ends of the earth and proclaim the good news. Go. Do not be indifferent. You have to act now, to do an action. This is His mandate. So for the disciples, this is a journey of faith and mission. And we also have the same journey. We are here not only according to, may I quote the famous Denzel Washington. You know him, this famous actor. He once said in a graduation rite, "Live not only to make a living, but to make a difference. When we fulfill our mission, my dear brothers and sisters, according to the gifts and charisms that we have received from God, actually we make a difference to a lot of people. We make a difference to their lives. So Jesus is encouraging each one of us. Though he is in heaven, he is still present with his disciples. Continue to inspire them, to enlighten them, and to make them courageous in proclaiming the gospel. And you know what? The disciples, since they shared this power from Jesus, sent it into heaven, were able to make signs, make miracles. Even when they handled serpents, nothing could harm them. Even when they drink deadly poison, nothing could harm them. They could expel demons. This is the power that Jesus shared to his apostles. And we can do the same, my dear brothers and sisters. The world needs us, Catholics, Christians. We need not be indifferent. We cannot say, oh, that is the work, that is your work, Father. You as a priest, you were ordained for that. But remember your common priesthood. I receive the ministerial priesthood, but each one of us here, Catholic, received our common priesthood, and we have the mission to continue what Jesus did. So again, the ascension is both the end, the completion of what Jesus said and did 2,000 years ago, but it is also a beginning because we have our part to do. Now, may I ask each one of us here, are we ready to perform that mission? Remember, we are not here only to make a living. We are here in this world to make a difference.